This is John Floridas. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Today we welcome back Patty Griffin.
Here we go, easy flow. Setting sun is sinking low. Watching now, wait for the flash. You got the view, you got the cash. You don't know why. Robbing cradles and the depraved, yawn and stretch my little cats. I'm the water in your taps. I'm the sidewalk and your street. I own the bones, own the meat, own the thoughts you ain't had yet. A little fish caught in the net, a little fish caught in the net, a little powder from the gun. Nothing but a blazing sun, draining off the river's dry. Just like two, I don't know why. Just like two, I don't know why.
This is John Floridas. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be welcoming back today Patty Griffin. Great to see you again.
Hi, nice to see you too.
Yeah. We also should tell listeners we're joined by Sal, who is a rescue dog of some kind. We were thinking Chihuahua and Beagle. What else did you say might be in
Dachshund,
there?
Maybe.
Dachshund, yeah. And Sal sings during the sound check.
Yeah.
What you're telling me. So I got to see a little video of that.
Yeah, he's a good singer too.
We should also tell listeners we're doing this interview backstage at the Wilma Theater, and we're doing this interview in late October, the night before Halloween, Halloween Eve, I guess you could call it, at the Wilma. We want to talk about the new recording, Servant of Love, which is your first self-released recording, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yep,
it is. We'll talk about this process. Let's just start right there, because that's pretty interesting to see you doing a self-released project, and talk about just what went into making that decision and how that's been for you to have that kind of control. I would think that would be kind of liberating.
It is good. You know, I've had really great experiences on record labels and a lot of not so great experiences, and I think because of the way things are at the moment where nobody knows what's happening, there's this element of fear and lack of ability to sort of risk anything at all. And, you know, I'm like a 51-year-old woman. I mean, that just makes me a risk right away, right, in that department. So
we'll come back to that.
It's a big relief to just not have to worry about it at all, what other people think.
Interesting.
Yeah, not have to contend with it. Not that I worry about it a lot anymore, but I don't have to contend with it either. So
I read quite a bit of information about the record and had a chance to listen to it as well. One of the things I thought was interesting, I thought it was pretty apt description, and that being that there seemed to be a lyrical theme that was there of love and loss was the term that was used in the interview that I read. But also musically, there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of different flavors, which is not that surprising given your body of work, but this seems to be even new, some new flavors musically.
Well, I've been working with this tuning for a really long time called Dad Dad. It's D-A-D-D-A-D, and it's a very forgiving tuning when trying to learn how to sort of play along with things that you may not be able to do well with standard tuning. And so when I was in the Band of Joy, I ended up messing around with Dad Dad a lot because I was given a lot of parts to play that I found challenging. So I messed around with open tunings, and it got me deeper and deeper into that tuning. And I didn't want to get off that tuning at all, writing. I mean, I would force myself to get off the tuning when writing on the guitar and go right back to it. So the record has a drone running through it, through quite a lot of it. And I think that one thing I discovered about writing with a drone is that it doesn't nail itself down. When you write in three chords, three standard chords, the song, the dynamics of the song tend to settle quickly, for me anyway. And I feel like I'm still learning these songs at this point. And I've recorded them and I've toured them a lot so at this point. So they're really, there's a looseness to the record, I think, that doesn't exist on other records that I have.
Did you go into the recording process with the songs still in pretty raw state?
I think they all were because of that. I mean, I played the heck out of them trying to get them. Because usually I'll show up in the studio and I'll have a dynamic map and a lot of ideas for instrumentation, but I had ideas for instrumentation, but I did not have a dynamic map.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit further for listeners? I think that's interesting, the dynamic map.
It's a, loud and soft and where to go and how the shape of this thing should arise and a fall to a piece of
music.
For
the project as a whole.
Yeah. Huh. And I think, no, just the songs themselves.
Oh, the songs themselves. Okay.
Individual songs. I will usually have a idea of how I want them to. I feel for them. One of the things I liked about them, they kind of hang on to their freshness for me because they don't adhere to one dynamic shape because they're written on a platform of a drone. So there's a little more life in it for me. Yesterday's put into my tomorrow.
something new begins. When I dream of you, we're sitting near the window, laughing, bathing in a winter sun. If I had to choose one moment for forever, my friend, I'd tell you I would be the one.
I wanted to talk about specifically the title song, Servant mm-hmm. of Love. There's some really interesting things going on vocally, I think. There's a give and take with the tempo, an expressiveness that I found different and new from your past work. And to me, it spoke of a maturity and a confidence that, you know, younger singers wouldn't feel as comfortable with that kind of a melody, expressing the melody that way. Yeah. That may seem like a little esoteric of a question. I'm not sure where the question is, except to are you feeling a sense of that with yourself as a singer? Because I know when I was listening back to the interview we had before, we talked about, you know, the comfort one has with their own voice. Mm. You made the analogy of your voice being like a flute as opposed to Aretha Franklin's saxophone or something.
Right, still is.
So I guess my question in all that is, has to do with your, you know, how you're feeling inhabiting your own voice these days.
Well, when I recorded the record, I was having a lot of vocal problems, honestly. I hurt my voice last fall, and then I got sick a couple of times in between. So for a singer, that's just a nightmare. And when it came time to record, we just booked it and we had to go in. So this, I had to sort of relax with what I had to use for tools. And I think in a way, it's good to do that for a singer, because we're like comedians. We have a bag of tricks, and if we use them too often, we can really lose impact. And I think that it made me work with the emotions of things a little more.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense now.
And on Servant of Love, I realized also prior to the writing of this record that I had fallen into some patterns in studying sort of classic songwriting, you know, studying the Nashville greats and, you know, that some Sam Cooke stuff and gospel stuff where it's like three chords and you know where it's going and, you know, there's a standard form, which mm-hmm. is wonderful. You know, so many great things have been written that way. I studied it and wrote in those forms for a while. And I realized that when I would sit down to noodle and I would come up with melodies, that I was throwing them out immediately because they weren't falling into that form. And I think that I just stopped doing that. I stopped editing. I think the study kind of overtook me, and I went back to just pretending I didn't know anything, which I honestly really don't know anything about songwriting still. It keeps, you know, it's infinite, really. So there's a lot to keep learning. But the song Servant of Love, for example, I got a piano melody and I got the first line of the song and I just waited and waited and waited for the rest of it to show up. And when the words finally did show up in the middle of the night, they were very strange to me and elusive. And I got up and I wrote them. And worked on the melody the next day. There really are, I would say, from my core. I don't think I put any, I didn't impose anything I was learning on them. Mm-hmm. You know, they came out of the big soup of what I have within me, you know.
I long to live. I long to live by the ocean. Carry me away. I'm a servant of love. Wave after wave, till my spirit was crawling. wave after wave till the sea came to me. I long to live, long to live by your ocean.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Patty Griffin. Patty, I can't help but notice, and this happened last time we talked, and particularly given this last recording and reaching the milestone of 50, we're close to the same age.
Yeah.
So I can't help but be interested in particularly passing that landmark of, yeah, of 50 years. I went back and listened to our previous interview, and you know, one of the things you mentioned when you passed 40, one of the things that you said was you rid yourself of self-consciousness but became more comfortable with who you are musically. So given the fact that I've also passed 50,
yeah,
and I'm fascinated with the experience, and but it is one for musicians and artists. It's a very interesting milestone on a lot of levels. So how are you doing with that?
Well, it's kind of like,
let's talk about being 50 and past 50.
I feel like my age bracket in my business, in the business end of what I do, I can't call it my business because it just doesn't work for me. The part of this that is commerce, it's sort of like being in junior high. It's sort of like you know, if I'd made it to 70 and I was still hanging in there, people would go, wow. You know? But right now you're too old to be the cool kid, and you're sort of looking for your cap is the sage or something, and I don't know, but you don't have it yet. And now that I'm in, you know, I'm 51, I'm definitely going down the hill, and I think that it's exciting because there are just physically, when your body starts to go the other way, it's not moving towards having and what can I do now. It's moving towards where it's not so much about where I can go, what I can do, what I can see, what I can accomplish. It's more about the accomplishment is more inner and what I can add to the world that's positive. And there's a freedom that comes with not being allowed into what is considered commercially viable, and I embrace that. I'm really, really excited about that. I'm not commercially viable, and there's never been more freedom. And I think at the same time for women, I don't know what it's like for men, but we actually have just real hormonal shifts that lead you in this other direction where you just don't give a about anything anymore. I'm not going to swear this time for you. You don't want to get you in trouble. But you just don't care about the things that you used to care about. I was listening to an interview with Gloria Steinem the other day, and she said, you know, the same thing about turning 50. It's a universal thing that happens to women, and That's a huge freedom. When you're not running around worrying about things that are how to, you know, attract somebody or, you know, be the perfect woman, you can really find things in your life that are worth doing, that are really, it sounds cliche, really rewarding, mm-hmm. you know, and you can maybe leave a little bit of goodness behind in the world, you know. And, so there's more room for that, and that's pretty nice, you know.
Running past the sun, heading over the hills, I know every word, they remember my name. I am but a writer of days, just passing through this town, the sun on my
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Patty Griffin. Patty, I wanted to talk to you about some other sources of inspiration for your music. When we talked last time, as I may have mentioned, it was at the Grand Targhee Fest in Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And at that point, your song Up to the Mountain was still, in fact, when I talked to you about it, you still weren't sure what you were going to call it.
Oh, really?
So that's how fresh it was. So obviously, for those who aren't familiar with that song, you know, very much inspired by Martin Luther King's last speech before he was assassinated. And I know that recently you've been talking about being inspired by the work of James Baldwin.
Mm. The writing of James Baldwin, he really cracked it open for me creatively. What's really clear about his writing to me is that he's incredibly honest with himself first, which is really hard to do. But it's how, if you want to know how to be good at some creative venture, that's it. That's the key. You have to learn honesty with yourself. And he grew up in a culture that really was literally killing people who looked like him because they looked like him. And he had to sort of figure out how to have his life filled with as much satisfaction and happiness as possible, given that situation. And I think one of the things that you get from his writing was that he absolutely refused to be embittered. He was really okay with anger. Anger was proper, and but not bitterness. And I think when I started reading him as a young woman, I didn't grow up with a leg up on things, I think, financially. And I think that I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder over that. I didn't go to college because I couldn't really afford to do it without going into a massive amount of debt. And so I ended up waiting on tables and taking jobs and being really in a position in my life that was incredibly vulnerable. I got married, I got divorced, you know, I kind of went through this. And then I found James Baldwin's writing, and it made me feel like it came along at the right time for me, because I think that although it's taking me 20 years to figure this out, I started beginning to know that the important thing is to do the best you can to express what's in your heart and honestly, and give that to people, and to not color it and with bitterness ever. You know, to try to learn how to be an open person. For myself and my work and what I do, that's a great example. Mm-hmm. So I always go in there and look for that.
I went up to the mountain because you asked me to. Up over the clouds to where the sky was blue, I could see all around. Everywhere I could see all around me, everywhere.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Patty Griffin. PattyGriffin.com is the name of the website you can go to find out more information about what Patty's up to and her shows, her recordings, and lots of good stuff there. Servant of Love is the most recent recording and her first self-released recording, which I'm excited to see you stepping into that and getting that kind of freedom to see what you can do in some of the different roles. And I think it's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for making time to
nice
be on the show.
To you.
Yeah, good to see you again. I hope we get a chance to chat down the road.
Thanks a lot.
I'm gonna let it be the field, the one that rain forgot. I'm gonna let it be the summer.
This is John Floridus. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Patty Griffin. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also contact us through Facebook. Our program is now available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Wilma Theater for helping facilitate the interview for this program. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.